Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of their elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and the scribes questioned him, "Why do you disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat their meals with unclean hands?" Jesus responded, "How well did Isaiah the prophet prophesy about you hypocrites? As it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines mere human precepts.' You disregard God's commandments, but cling to human tradition." Jesus went on to say, "How well you have set aside the commandment of God in order to uphold your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'Whoever curses father or mother shall die.' Yet you say, 'If someone says to father or mother, any support you might have had for me is korban,' meaning dedicated to God, 'you allow him to do nothing more for his mother or father.' You nullify the word of God in favor of your tradition that you have handed on. And you have done many such things." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's readings, there are some pretty powerful messages that can help us to appreciate even more this Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes, which we celebrate today. The first reading, Solomon cries out after having built the temple and seen God come down in the presence of the holy Shekinah, the holy cloud that filled the Holy of Holies. Solomon exclaimed, "Can it indeed be that God dwells on earth?" He couldn't believe it, that God had come down to encounter his holy people. The second aspect of these readings is that God wants us to encounter him when he comes down, not just on the outside, but in the inside. Not with our lips, not with our hands, washed or unwashed, according to the ancient Jewish ritual. He wants us to encounter him with our hearts. Jesus complained, using the words of the prophet Isaiah today, that "this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." They're going through the external motions, but they're not really all there. Solomon himself had said that the Lord keeps his covenant of mercy with his servants who are faithful to him with their whole heart. Jesus calls us to love God not with just a little bit of our heart, not just with a lot of our heart, but he calls us to love him with all our heart. And that's the way that not only does the Lord who comes down from earth to be with us, but the Lord who wants to enter into us and be with us in the inside, that's the only opening he has. When we're not compartmentalizing our life or our faith, but we really want him in totally. Whenever Our Lady comes down from heaven to earth, it's meant to emphasize what God has already revealed. There's never anything new there. There might be a new devotion in order to help us to live what God has said, but there's never anything new. Mary is a reminder for us whenever she intervenes. She's a reminder to us when she comes down from heaven to earth that God actually does dwell here and loves us so much that he sends her to help us to live in that reality. And nobody better than the Blessed Virgin Mary shows how to love God with all our heart, because she was constantly treasuring within all of the Lord's words, holding on to it as her chief possession, and saying, "Let it be done to me according to your word." She loved the Lord with all she is. And so she's an incredible model for us. When 156 years ago today, she came down in southwestern France at the foot of the Pyrenees to our patroness, St. Bernadette Soubirous. She wanted, through St. Bernadette, to lead the church to this type of true worship. And there were essentially five things that Our Lady was teaching her there, which is important for us to grasp today. The first is the crucial importance of prayer. Mary came down 18 times to Bernadette, and every single one of those 18 times, she prayed with Bernadette. And prayer, again, as I repeat, is not an exchange of words. It's not an exchange of good ideas. It's not our give our laundry list to God as if he's some type of slot machine so that he can rain down graces. Prayer is ultimately about an exchange of persons. God, who loves us with his whole heart, wants to exchange hearts with us, wants to give us a true heart transplant, so that we're able, with his own heart, to love God and to love others as he deserves. And that's what prayer is meant to bring about. Mary prayed the rosary with St. Bernadette, or actually accompanied St. Bernadette as she basically prayed the rosary. She prayed the Our Father, she prayed the Glory Be, but she would just put her head down when Bernadette was praying the Hail Mary. How could she hail herself? Right? Was first and foremost to be a place of prayer. She wanted a chapel built. She sent Bernadette to the local pastor, Father Peyremal, asking that a chapel would be built. Why? So that her son, in his real presence, could come down and dwell in Massabielle. So that people could, in fact, come and encounter him there. Mary's constantly trying to remind us that God has indeed come down from heaven to earth, and she wants to bring us to her Son so that he might change our life forever. Second thing that Mary taught Bernadette and all of us was about a particular type of prayer. When she finally spoke on the third occasion, what we'll be remarking on a week from today on February 18th, when we'll celebrate St. Bernadette's feast day. She spoke for the first time. She said, "Pray and do penance for the conversion of sinners." She begged her on multiple occasions to kiss the ground as an act of penance for the conversion of sinners. Mary's constantly coming down as a mother of mercy. But what plagues her maternal heart more than anything else is that we don't receive that mercy. She had come down, for example, to St. Juan Diego 327 years before she came down to St. Bernadette. She asked him, as a mother of mercy, to have a Teocalli, a temple built, so that precisely people could come for forgiveness. When she came down 97 years ago to Fatima, she asked the three little shepherd children to pray specifically for the conversion of sinners too. If Mary were able to speak to us today, she would say to us, I believe, "How many times do I have to ask you? How many times do I have to ask? Pray for the conversion of sinners, beginning with yourself." It's kind of like a mother would if the mother in an airport met the greatest oncologist in the world, who had the greatest success rate of curing people from cancer. And she had a child or a best friend who had cancer, and told this oncologist about her friend or her son or daughter. And the oncologist offered for free to treat that afflicted loved one. And when the woman told her loved one about the offer, the person basically just said, "No thanks. No thanks. I don't need the doctor's help." That's what's got to plague Mary. She's constantly asking that we pray for the conversion of sinners, beginning with her own conversion, and come to receive the Lord's mercy. That's the great miracle of Lourdes. where in our over 40 languages, confessions are heard every day, and miracles occur far greater than the miracles of paralysis. St. John Vianney used to say, when a soul is brought back to grace, it's a miracle far greater than raising Lazarus from the dead. Because Lazarus was raised from the dead only to die again. But when a soul's lifted up anew into God's grace, that soul can live forever. That's the second thing Mary asked Bernadette. She asked for us. Pray for the conversion of sinners. What a beautiful devotion it would be for us when we pray that rosary, really to mean those words that she taught in Fatima. Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Forgive the sins of the whole world, to the chaplet of divine mercy which Jesus himself revealed, offering up the Eucharist for the conversion of the world. The third thing Mary taught there was about healing, about God's will to heal us as a sign through the healing of the body, of the type of healing he wants to do for our soul. That first time that Mary told Bernadette to basically start digging in the ground, to wash her face with the water. She dug and all she basically had was mud, and everybody thought that she was mad. She had was out of her mind. But then as she left, that hole that she had dug began to drip with a little stream of water. That's what led to the first miracle that day when somebody was touched by that water. And since that time, 7,000 really serious miracles have occurred there that have been studied. 69 have passed through the incredibly rigorous process of certification. But it's a place of tremendous healing where people go and they're healed. We had a pilgrim there 5 months ago with us, who had been suffering from a lot of physical maladies as well as some spiritual and emotional maladies. And I had told everybody on the pilgrimage when the baths would be open so that they could bathe. We had gone up to do the entire Stations of the Cross and we had come down. I didn't know at the time that they shut off the gates about an hour before if there were big crowds. And so I had a few of the pilgrims here with me who weren't going to be able to get into wash, and we were going to be leaving that next day. You know that I'm pretty bold and I don't mind interceding, and so I went on up and I tried to see what I could do, praying with the help of my ministerial archangel through the guardian angel of the people who were minding the gates. I was able to get the first wave in, and then a couple other people came afterward and they wanted to get in, and it's just like, I'm sort of risking this guy's thing, but I tried again and I got them in. And then finally this last woman comes who just wasn't paying attention. Oh, no, don't worry about it, Father. Yeah, I kind of wanted to go, but I said I'll try again, and brought her there, and she was the last woman on in, and she wrote me this incredibly beautiful email about what the Lord had given her in those healing baths. That for the first time in her life, she had felt totally free from all the spiritual and emotional baggage that she had been carrying with her, as well as the various aches and pains that build up. She's got some form of arthritis in her joints. That was gone too. That's a place of healing, because that healing comes from God, and Mary wanted to communicate very clearly that God wants to heal us. Fourth, Lourdes is all about charity, and Mary unleashed a tremendous stream of Good Samaritanism there in Lourdes. One of the most touching things for me is to see all these volunteers coming from all over the world to work with the malade, to work with the sick, to push their wheelchairs all across town, to help them get into those healing baths, to help them in the candlelight processions every night, to walk with them, to cover them when it starts to rain there in Lourdes, and do so much more. One of the reasons why, for me, it's so important that we don't banish our handicapped in the back of this church, but bring them up close, is because that's exactly the way the church treats with preferential love those who are sick. We don't have them sit in the back of the bus or the back of the church like in segregated South they used to make the blacks. We bring them all the way up front. And some of the times they don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to be up in front. But we want to say, you're important. And even if you are a little embarrassed, we love you and we're going to bring you up here. Because we love the Lord to the extent that we love you. Mary unleashed that whole stream of Good Samaritanism. But we don't have to go to Lourdes to be a Good Samaritan. We're supposed to do that type of stuff right here. She's interceding for us, and she wants to remind us of that mission entrusted to us by her Son. And the last of the things that I will mention that she teaches us there, Pope Emeritus Benedict mentioned 6 years ago when he made his pilgrimage to Lourdes. Pope Benedict, as you know, 1 year ago today resigned, and these words have always moved me. He said the first two times Mary came to visit St. Bernadette there in that cave of Massabielle, she didn't say a thing. Every time Bernadette sort of tried to communicate with her, she communicated back non-verbally. But her non-verbal communication was incredibly significant. He said, she just smiled at her. And in that smile, Mary was trying to remind all of us of our dignity as beloved sons and daughters of God. That God looks on us with a smile. He's proud of us. He loves us. He wants to help us. He's rooting us on. And Mary, throughout all of those 18 apparitions, always smiled when she talked and when she didn't talk. She smiles on us here as we've united in her Son's name in order to celebrate this great feast. When she finally revealed who she was to Bernadette, she didn't say, I am the Mother of God. She didn't say, I am Mary of Nazareth. She revealed herself as the Immaculate Conception, that one who, from the first moment of her existence, had enmity between her and the devil. And she wants to intercede for us through our prayer for the conversion of sinners, through our recognition of God's desire to heal us, through our helping others to receive that healing, and through allowing God's smile to glance down on us through her holy, beautiful face. That we should have confidence that God likewise wants to put enmity between us and the devil, to separate us so that we might in fact love the Lord with our whole heart and be able to rejoice with King Solomon. Can it indeed be that God not only dwells on earth, but dwells within? As we prepare to receive at Mass the same Son whom she bore in her womb for 9 months, let us beg her intercession that we might never lose that holy wonder and act on the holy message and mission. Mary came from heaven to earth on behalf of Almighty God to confide not just to Bernadette Subaru, but to you, to me. Our Lady of Lourdes, pray for us.